Welcome to the Amateur Adult American Football League official podcast, episode number 3, where we discuss the website and registration. We also get into an interview with the president of the AAAFL, and he has an opportunity to say goodbye to the War Eagles once and for all. He will also serve as the co-host for this episode. So without further ado, we'll get to our first segment about the website for the AAAFL. Okay, so the biggest announcement that we have this week is the fact that the website is officially going to be launched on May 26th. It's something that we've been waiting for a while now. We've been working on for a good 2 weeks nonstop, and I think it's finally ready. What do you think?
Yeah, going through it and making the last little adjustments and giving the last comments on it, I feel we're in the right boat. The website looks great. It's easy to function. It's got great content. I just can't wait for people to see it.
Yeah, and it'll get a little bit of feedback on what we've been working on. We're not going to get into all the features, but I do want to get into a couple of them that mean a little bit to us. The first one that means a lot to me as the commissioner is the fact that we have built-in reports for the home teams, for the away teams, and for the officials. So this way, you don't have to print anything out and remember it. There's no... I lost it or anything like that. As soon as the game is over, whip out your phone, go to the league website, and just submit the form. It's 4 easy steps. You just put in your email and the score, and you answer a couple questions and hit submit. It goes directly to my email, and this is going to make things a lot more organized and make it so we can actually stay on top of things. A lot of these other leagues do it, but I think it's more lip service than it is actually trying to get things right. So that's something I'm really excited about. Did you have anything about the reports that you wanted to touch on a little bit?
Like you said, it's a lot of lip service with these other leagues. They all get on the league-mandated phone call on Monday or Wednesday, whichever day the league decides to make it on, and everyone's just talking over each other. Oh, this guy did this, and then this guy starts arguing with that guy, and then league meetings become, you know, 4-hour conversations on a Wednesday night, getting done at 11 p.m. And it's just a lot of people arguing. So we're trying to, you know, this here, we'll cut it down. We're going to get the reports. We're going to combine them. We're going to look at them. And then we're going to bring them up in the meeting.
Well, yeah. And it's also going to give us an opportunity to address those issues before the meeting starts. So this way we can just give everybody an update. Hey, listen, this was the incident. We talked to both parties. This is the outcome of it. Boom, we're moving on. You know what I mean? There is no back and forth. He said, she said, well, I was there and I wasn't, this, that, and the other thing. So that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Right. I mean, it's going to be great. You know, a big thing that I'm looking forward to is the website itself for league registration.
Okay.
With most of these other leagues, when you're paying your league fees, in 3 years, I've paid a PayPal to somebody's personal account. One had a website that was unsecured, so you just put your payment information in, and 6-year-old could steal your credit card information.
That's a little bit of an over-exaggeration, but the kids are getting really good with the programming now, so I can see that.
And then another league was a Cash App to a specific team.
Yeah, that was weird.
In the league, which was a little weird and made me feel a little hesitant in wanting to do it. So we wanted to set it up in the correct way, which... we paid the extra money to get our website encrypted, to keep everybody's information safe, and made it easy and accessible for guys just to come in, hit a few buttons, and pay their fees. And to me, that ease and accessibility goes a long way with people, especially for me. I don't want to jump through hoops. Hey, send me your email address, and then I have to set up a new PayPal account and this and that and
link it. Then you get the confirmation that you paid it, but where's the confirmation that that went towards the league fees? Where when it's through the website directly, it's you're going to have a proof of payment. You're going to have that receipt. You're going to have the confirmation when you actually made the payment through the league, and it's going to go directly to us. You don't have to wait for us to send you an invoice. You don't have to wait for the opportune time and check, hey, did you get that? It's going to happen automatically at any time. If you want to do it at 2:30 in the morning on the website at home, that's something that you can do. Now, another section on the website that I'm looking forward to is the trophy case. So the trophy case is going to have every single team that has won our championship in a tab section throughout the years. It's also going to have the league standings updated each week with number 1 through number 12 standings, average points against 4, so this way you can monitor the top 6 teams to make the playoffs throughout the season. On the bottom of the trophy case page, we'll have a place that we can immortalize our teams and the records for each of those teams for every year. We'll put up the results for our flag tournaments that way. And also on that page is where we'll be immortalizing the All-League team going forward. That was a really unique page. It's the only one that has a custom background. What did you think of that page?
You know, I really like the page. And I like the fact that we're going to have an easy way to access who the champions are for each year. Trying to look back on some other the other leagues, you got to look through Facebook ad like spaces and see when they posted who the winner was.
And the tabs aren't very organized. You hit one thing and it's not on this, but if you go through a separate channel on a different page, it'll bring you to the actual thing. It's just not very easy to navigate.
Right. I mean, and the ease of our website to navigate is great. Like if you go to the four coaches section, you'll see all sorts of different links that help coaches maybe that have a little bit of writer's block coming up with practice plans.
Yeah.
On the four coaches section, there's some practice help tips.
Yeah, drills that are delineated by offense, defense, and special teams. So if you need a little bit of assistance, they're right there.
Right. I mean, we're here to help everybody in all aspects. Mm-hmm. Players, owners, coaches, support staff. We have the Heads Up Football Certified link where we're requiring all our head coaches in the league to be certified to be able to recognize the symptoms of a concussion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just that, too. They teach them modern-day tackling techniques that we're not forcing them to implement, but at least they'll have the training on it. They'll be able to get some training on proper fitting of equipment, which leads to concussions a lot. And not only that, but they'll get some hydration testing too. A lot of times we play during the winter, people think that you don't need to be hydrated. They don't realize that your body's burning more energy to try to keep you warm than you normally would be if it was hot outside.
Right. And there's a lot of guys that just think, I don't need to hydrate at all, you know, during the week. I can just come play the game and drink water and I'll be fine. And that's not the case. You know, you need to be drinking water at least 24 hours before a game. So that is what your body's drawing off of to help you through the game.
Yeah.
You just can't take a swig of water and you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I know. That's one big thing that a lot of guys with the War Eagles used to give me a hard time about is every time before game day, I would say, hey, you know, it takes 24 hours for water to process through your body. Make sure you're drinking today, no alcohol, this, that, and the other. It became a standing joke because I used to say it so often that guys would, if I didn't post it, would be like, hey, you know, they'd post it for me and mocking me. But it's definitely, you know, little things like that that a lot of people aren't aware of that can maybe save a player's life in the future. We don't know. But we want to make sure that there's at least one coach on every staff that is properly certified.
Right. It's just a great help section of the thing.
Absolutely. Another section that I wish we had in the last couple of years in the other leagues is a sports engine help section that I have built into the homepage. So essentially, you can go to the sports engine help section on our main page, and it'll give you step-by-step instructions for certain things, like when you have to do rostering, if you need to set up your club page or your team page, if you need some help getting started with sports engine. There's a lot of things, a lot of features in Sports Engine that a lot of teams, a lot of players, and a lot of coaches don't know how to do. They don't know how to access it, and they don't know who to ask either. So on that page, there's a guide. There's a couple helpful links at the bottom. There's a embedded videos thing here that has 5 or 6 different videos on it that shows you how to roster and all that fun stuff. So that's something else that's built into the website I'm looking forward to as well. Is it gives someone an opportunity to rectify situations on their own. They don't have to call the league for every little thing. They don't have to get discouraged because they don't know how to do something and then just not do it. So that's something that we're really looking forward to with the training session that we're doing on the August 4th meeting. Having this Sports Engine help page and myself being available at any time, there's no excuses for ignorance at that point.
Just having somewhere to go and help you, it will take a lot of stress off guys. While you're on the website, another great section was the calendar.
Yeah.
We strive to make sure that our calendar is always up to date. It's going to have when our league meetings are. It's going to have games when we get into that part of the season.
Yeah.
Where they're going to be held, who's playing. It's also going to have our flag tournament schedules on there.
Yeah, that's something that we're looking forward to as well.
So during our off season, we'll be hosting flag tournaments, not only for players of our league, but players outside of our league that want to put a team together and play. And they'll be able to find where and when those are going to be and how to be a part of it, which is going to be great.
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing I really want to kind of just hit the head on here with this particular segment is the fact that the website is easy to navigate. It has all the information that you could possibly need, including information you didn't know you needed. We're going to be there to support it and update it every step along the way. No longer will you receive those websites that are 3 weeks out of date talking about week two when it's week seven. At no point in time with our league are you going to see, you know, half the teams not put their statistics in. That's something I'm going to personally do myself. So there's a lot of things that we're really excited about. We want to make sure that this is a professional website. We want to make sure that it's fully functional and fully utilized to the capacity that it can be.
Right. We're holding ourselves to the highest standards that we can possibly do.
That was a wonderful breakdown of the website and a couple things that we wanted to highlight. I definitely want to mention one last time that is definitely not all of the different segments that you can find on our website. There's a lot more to it, so go ahead and check it out whenever you can at theaaafl.com. The next thing we get into will be the registration process that happens over 3 separate stages, so stay tuned to find out a little bit more. Another big thing that we really wanted to touch on is the fact that June 1st is when registration for the 2020 season opens. I know a lot of people have been asking me who's with us, who's not with us, how many teams we got. I don't have those answers right now. All I have is a bunch of conversations that I've had with a bunch of different team owners. I do have some hard commitments, and I do have a lot of people who are interested and want to be part of this. However, until it opens, I'm not entirely sure who's going to put their money where their mouth is. So that's something I'm really excited about is June 1st when our registration opens.
Right. I mean, we're not going to put out there, you know, this guy said this guy said that. We're not going to tell what's going on until somebody, like you said, puts their money down and is ready to join AAAFL.
Not only that, but people change their mind. You know, they might be interested now and then read through our handbook and realize, you know what, this isn't for them. And I don't want to put them in an awkward position by telling people, hey, look, this team's with us, and then something changes. So we'll go ahead and announce them as they apply, and we're going to go ahead and do it that way. Now, something I really wanted to touch on, though, especially for any owners that are listening, we do have a 3-step process in order to become a member of our league. Now, that very, very first step is going to be the application. It's on the website. If you go to Seasons, underneath the Seasons tab, there is a 2020 season, and underneath that tab is team registration. It's also linked on the homepage, so you can go to it directly. When you fill out that application, we ask that you read the handbook first. Okay, that's big for me because we do a lot of things very uniquely. I want you to understand what you're getting yourself into. Second thing is we want you to fill it out in completion. At no point in time should you leave anything undone. At no point in time should you not pay the $50 application fee that shows us that you're financially invested in this decision. Now, that being said, that application fee is refundable if you don't make the league, and it is applied to your league fees in the case that you do make the league. Did you want to go ahead and talk about that a little bit and maybe go on to step two?
Step two, anybody that applies, we're going to take their application, we're going to read through it, and as an executive board, we're going to take a vote. We're going to see if teams fit well with us. If we have any questions that need to be answered before approval, we're going to ask them. So we have 3 separate options while taking this vote. Either we approve outright, we deny outright, or we deny pending further investigation on questions that may have come up during the voting process.
Okay, that makes sense.
Now, after being denied, they have 48 hours to get back to us with answer to the questions that we had.
Okay.
And once we get those questions, we'll take it back for another vote. Now, if a team is just outright not approved, that doesn't mean they can never be a part of this league. We just might have certain things that we feel makes them ineligible.
Yeah. I mean, we do have certain minimum requirements, one of them being the fact that you have to put your stats in, the fact that you have to record your games from a perch position. We may just run into an organization who doesn't have the proper equipment, and they tell us they don't have the proper equipment, and to us, that's an automatic denial. Now, like you were saying, it's not to say that they can't be part of us, it's just they need to fix that. So if we deny them for a specific reason and they fix that specific reason, then they can go ahead and reapply as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And the big thing with us is if you get denied, that $50 application fee is going to get given back.
Yeah.
We've been part of leagues before where you make that deposit, and if you don't get into that league, you lose that deposit.
Not only that, but it didn't count towards the league fees either. So it added on to the expenses altogether. So
right.
That's something that on both ends that we wanted to make sure was a rule that we have with our application fees. And our application fee is only $50. It's not that much compared to other leagues, but it's enough to show us that you're serious.
Right.
Now, after we finish phase two, there is one additional phase in order for a team to be accepted officially into the AAAFL. And that phase is called verification. Now that phase, I'm going to specifically be doing myself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and arrange a meeting to meet at the fields with the owner, with the facility manager, in order to make sure that the lights work, that the field doesn't have a bunch of holes in it. I want to make sure that has an operational scoreboard, and I want to make sure the arrangements are set up properly, that they have a plan for the lights. See if they're on a timer, do they control them themselves? Little things like that that I think is going to be very important to make sure that each team has. On top of that, if it's a first year team, we do require them to have a deposit. On top of that, we require new teams to give us a comprehensive season budget analysis where we can sit down and make sure that they're taking everything into consideration properly, so this way they're financially prepared for the season. We're also going to inspect and or verify the video capturing equipment to make sure that they actually have the equipment in order to record their games at least 1080p. And that's another thing I'm going to be looking for at the fields. They need to have a position that's perched at least 10 feet in the air to take film from. We don't want sideline footage. If you don't have the ability to do anything but sideline footage, then I'm sorry, this just isn't the league for you. We want to make sure that everybody's required to submit film. That film has to meet a certain standard. And the very, very last thing that's part of stage three is the first league payment of $300. At that point in time, as soon as we accept that $300 payment, you are now officially a member of the AAAFL. We feel this three-step process is really going to help ensure that we get quality teams. It's going to ensure that all the teams are well aware of our standards and what we're looking for.
Right, and it's a great way for teams to be ready for the season. And you touched on it earlier, that first-year teams are going to pay a deposit. Now, that shouldn't discourage them. If they complete the entire season, that money is totally refundable. We're not here to make money off of that for first-year teams. We just want to make sure they're fully committed to completing a season. In a lot of other leagues where first-year teams fall apart after week two because they're not ready.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the majority of the teams that fold in season, for the most part, they're first-year teams.
Right. They just don't know what it is to actually put on a full season.
Think about it. When you and I took over the War Eagles, did we have any clue what the flip we were getting ourselves into?
No, we would have folded our first year if me and you weren't just so hot-headed and just stubborn and just didn't throw our own money at the team to make sure it stayed afloat.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want anyone to feel intimidated by it. It's in place for a reason. I think a lot of teams are going to really appreciate the fact that we're doing our due diligence. That's one thing that we can say these other leagues don't really do. They just take on pretty much anyone that they can get a hold of that is willing to pay the league fee. No one goes out and physically checks up on them. No one actually has a process in place that is this comprehensive that checks on certain things that are going to be very, very beneficial as the season goes on. We don't want to handpick. We don't want to seem stuck up. But at the same time, we want to make sure that they're going to be able to be held to the same standards.
Right. We want quality teams. And quality doesn't mean the most competitive, per se. It means a guy that's putting on a good program.
Mm-hmm. Understands the concept of branding.
Right. We're here to help teams. I don't want teams to feel discouraged about these three steps. We're not here to deny people and be like, no, you are terrible.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Go away.
Yeah, that's not us.
That's not us. We're in that process. We're going to help you get eligible to be here.
Yeah. And it's not only that, but these teams that aren't really put together well, they're going to see this process and not even apply. It's going to weed them out just from having this process.
Right. It's going to really set the bar high.
Absolutely. All right. So the first thing I definitely want to get into for this particular episode is going to be our interview of our president of the AAAFL, John Dunderdale. How are you doing today, John?
Doing good, man. It's great to be here. It's great to get this started. It's been a long time, just waiting to get things going and moving forward for this.
Yeah, I know we've been talking about this now for a little over a month, month and a half now, and it's been hell trying to keep it all in with everything that's been going on, but I'm really proud of the fact that we did this the right way, in my opinion. We took everything under consideration, made sure all of our ducks were in a row before we made the announcement, so this way we could have answered all the questions. So that's something I'm proud of personally.
Right. I'm proud that we did it right and we're making sure the website's correct and doing things like that. And we didn't make the announcement, too soon. We didn't want to step on anybody's toes to seem like we were being disrespectful to other leagues. You know, we support everyone that's trying to make a difference in the sport at this level. So we definitely don't try to bash or anything like that.
Exactly. And I think if we would have made the announcement any sooner, it might have been during championship weekends for both the FFA and FCFL, and that wouldn't have been good for anybody. There was no need for that kind of drama. What I wanted to get into here more than anything is going to be the interview for our president here. So I want to go ahead and start off with our history here. Can you tell me a little bit about where you were raised, what makes you a little bit more qualified to do this? Maybe your playing history as a player as well.
Yeah, I grew up right here in Newport Richey. My mom moved down from Massachusetts. This is where I learned to love the game of football. Growing up, I was not able to play the game like everyone else did. I wasn't able to play Pop Warner. I wasn't able to do that.
Why is that?
For people that don't know me, right now I'm 6'9". Pop Warner does a lot of things during weight classes.
Yeah.
So at 8 years old, I would have to play with 13 and 14-year-olds. And, my grandfather, who was my big inspiration, just thought that I couldn't play with, much bigger kids that knew more about football than I did.
Okay. So when did you get your first start? Was that in middle school or high school?
Yeah, so really my first start in football was still when I was growing up. Okay. My grandfather said, if I can't play, I should learn the game.
Okay.
So we went over, I learned rules. I learned all the positions I could. And come middle school, that's where I got my first shot.
Okay. That was at Gulf Middle?
That was at Gulf Middle, okay. right here in Newport Richey. And, there they thought, I was a defensive lineman.
Okay.
I was quicker off the ball and I was aggressive, but I just didn't feel like it was my place.
Okay.
Why was that? I don't know. Growing up maybe in a single mother household, I felt more like a protector kind of person.
Okay, kind of like the Blind Side kind of thing, where it was more, protective instincts that led to him playing football as opposed to it being like a passion of the game itself.
Right. When they put me in on the offensive line, I started out at guard, which I loved. I loved playing guard. I loved pulling and doing things. But, as I developed as a player moving into high school, I really found my talent at left tackle.
Okay. That's the money position right there.
That's what they say. unfortunately, I never made it to that professional level.
You were on the right track, but we'll get to that a little bit later, and we'll also discuss why you probably don't like pulling anymore.
Right. So playing, in high school and stuff, I still really found the love of actually learning the sport.
Okay.
Really setting in and learning offenses and studying defenses and just studying game plan.
Yeah.
This is just how I grew up when I was a kid, and that's how I wanted to progress my career.
That's the beautiful thing really about football, though, is your learning is never done. It's art in motion, and it's by far the most complicated sport that has ever existed. And to me, that's beautiful. You're never a master. Even Bill Belichick learns new things every single year.
Right. Every year somebody comes up with something new, and you got to come up with something better to beat it.
Exactly. That's something I really like about it. Now, you said you played the high school. You played that at Gulf. And if I'm not mistaken, you ended up earning a scholarship while you played there. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I got a scholarship to play out there at BC.
For those that don't know, it's Boston College.
Unfortunately, I never got to actually step on the field and actually play a game with them because I got injured during a practice session. That was really rough for me. It ended my career during a practice. A pulling guard hit me in the back and fractured my spine. Just ended my college career. Any thoughts of having a professional career? When football is your life and you lose that sense of purpose, basically. Yeah. I retreated into myself and, you know, I let things go.
Well, that's kind of a big reason why we're doing this, is because a lot of guys end up in that kind of situation and don't have any avenues to really proceed at that point.
Right. And, you know, it's a big thing, you know. Only a small percentage of people make it to the NFL. And for some of these guys, it's all they want and all they strive for throughout middle school, high school, and even if they get into college.
Yeah.
Like, that's their goal. And when they don't make it to that other level, they don't know what else to do. It seriously depresses guys. And I know, because I was there.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. If you work your entire life for something, and it's not just something that you have to do with your extra time, it's your body. You need to be strong. You need to be sound of mind, like you were talking about. You need to have your grades in order. You have to line things up. And you got to get a little lucky when it comes a long way as well. And to have all that line up and snatched away in a single practice, too. I mean, I can't even imagine.
I mean, my short career there was the shortest, I think, of anybody's probably ever played college ball.
Yeah, you definitely were deserving to being there, though. And, I mean, I can attest from seeing you play in high school that I definitely didn't want to line up in front of you. That's for sure.
Right. I'm not going to toot my own horn. I was pretty good. But, you know, there was a lot of guys on my team that was pretty good.
We had a monster offensive line at Gulf High School.
We had a monster offensive line. Our running back, the years I played, ran for the most yards in the season. Because they were behind guys that were my size, 6'5", 250. Me, Jeremy Yankowski, John Howard, Josh Payne. Just big monster guys.
Yeah. You guys are definitely mollers, that's for sure. Now, once you got out and you had an opportunity to kind of get yourself together and whatnot, what made you look into the semi-pro?
So when I moved back home, you know, I was healing up. I ended up going back to a community college, going for my degree in criminal justice and whatnot. And I had friends that were down here that, you know, I'd see on Facebook that were playing semi-pro. So I never actually knew semi-pro was a thing.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
You'd be surprised how many people just don't have a clue this exists.
When I looked into it, that would have been in 2010 or so, actually 2011. It looked like a joke. A lot of these teams weren't put together. They just, guys were brawling on the fields. It really turned me off.
Turned anyone off, really.
Right. I had a couple guys, you know, in the later years in 2015 or so, really start reaching out to me saying, you know, come play, come try out, come do it. And I finally broke down. I said, okay. And I ended up choosing the Decepticons with my friend Josh Roberts.
Oy vey.
You know, ran by the owner, Casey Adams, at the time. It was definitely a different experience, you know, coming from a guy that's used to being in a more set football experience where you practice in 5 days a week. You
actually have, you know, meetings with your position groups, and you actually have a set schedule for practice.
Some sort of structure, and guys are bought in 100%.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the problem with amateur football and stuff like that, is you just get these guys that just want to come out and play high school backyard football. And that's something
Fuck football.
Right.
That's what I call it.
And there's teams that are specifically, that's what they're designed to. And then there's teams that were like the Phantoms, were like us, the War Eagles, where we were more tailored to a more professional level.
Yeah.
Where we held our guys to a higher standard.
That's something that really is lacking across the board everywhere, though. And that's kind of the biggest reason we decided to do this, is we didn't believe there was any league currently standing that would hold all the teams to the standards that we hold ourselves to. And every year, we were at a competitive disadvantage because of things we were doing for our players that we felt was the right thing to do, but other teams wouldn't do it. As far as like film sharing is concerned, as far as holding players accountable during the games, before the games, as far as rostering and deadlines, other teams would just take it as a guideline as opposed to an actual rule. And it's something that, with my moral fiber, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. That doesn't mean that I wasn't tempted to quite a few times, but you know, John can attest that, you know, that's definitely not something that flies with me, that's for sure.
Right. I mean, knowing you since pretty much since kindergarten.
Yeah. 5 years old.
5 years old, you know. I've known Jason a long time, and he's never been a person to let his moral compass drift.
You say that with contempt.
You know, he's the kind of guy that if we go out to dinner and I just decide to get up and leave and not pay my part of the check, he's going to pay it because he's not going to leave that place until that bill's paid, you know, which sometimes works in my favor.
Yeah, well, I know. But at the same time, that's exactly the kind of person you want as the commissioner of a league. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, of course. I mean, especially when it comes down to rules and regulations here, what we're striving for to make this more of a professional look and feel than most other leagues get. Mm-hmm. When you get into rules in other leagues, you know, sometimes they can change mid-season. Sometimes they change and some teams know and other teams don't.
Sometimes they take unanimous votes in the offseason and then pretend it never happened a couple months later. So that's right. One thing that we want to make sure does not happen here. Now, speaking of the league, we went ahead and we transitioned there sort of from when you played with the Decepticons. Before we get to the league, though, I do want to talk about your involvement with the War Eagles. Now, I did mention on the previous episode, it's very true. You were there from the very, very beginning, before Z even was. I went to you. You and I talked. Just in the other room from where we're sitting right now, actually, and had a long conversation. And I told you if I was going to do this, there ain't no way I was going to be able to do it by myself. And you've been there for every step along the way. What does the War Eagles folding in order to make this happen mean to you?
I mean, it's a step in the journey. I came on to help with the War Eagles because I wanted to make the sport better for guys. And we thought that we could do it with just a team.
Yeah.
And we tried it for 3 years. And it was a 3 years that has been a big part of my life. Owning a team and setting it up is just not the 5 months out of the year that you're playing.
Oh, no, not even slightly.
As soon as the season ends, it's preparing for the next season, talking to guys, retaining a roster, setting up new rosters for guys, and trying to get in new recruits. So,
then you got to figure out the state paperwork, and then you got to set up a budget for next year. And then you got to worry about closing out the books from the prior season, and then you got an award ceremony, and players want to change the uniform all of a sudden. Like, it's just so much that really goes into it that people don't know. And I want to take this opportunity to shout out to all the team owners out there. We know what it's like to put a team through a season, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to make it a little easier on you to lighten your load.
Right. We've been through a lot in the last 3 years, and a lot of these guys, you know, stuck with us since year one. Coming from the ADPFL to the UFF to the FCFL in our last season.
Yeah.
We carried over a lot of guys.
Yeah. I would say a good 75% of our roster has been with us for 3 seasons straight now.
And it means a lot, especially to me. They become family. Mm-hmm. I do anything for those guys. And I've made a lot of friends with these guys. You know, even guys that have made the decision to leave our team in our last season, I still consider them good friends.
Yeah. And War Eagles for life. It don't matter if you're with us for a day or a year. That's the way we look at it.
Correct. You know, so the War Eagles folding, to me, it's a big deal. You know, it's an end of an era, but we're trying to start to get these help, not only help our players that were War Eagles with a more professional league, to help all players.
Absolutely. Help this level at all. I mean, the biggest part of what we're trying to do is repair the reputation of amateur football. A big part of the issues that run in with a lot of teams is financial issues, because it's very hard to get sponsors. They don't want to be associated with semi-pro. And it's for good reason. If I owned another business outside of this, I wouldn't sponsor a semi-pro team with the reputation it currently has. So that's why my biggest thing with Z is we're trying to completely eliminate even mentioning the word semi-pro. It's amateur football, and that's the direction that we want to go in going forward. So getting back to talking about the AAAFL, you are the president of the AAAFL, which leaves a bunch of responsibilities on your shoulders. Did you want to go ahead and talk about a couple of those responsibilities? Any plans that you have going forward with, for the organization?
Yeah, so my main role as the president is to make sure that all the other executive board members is doing their job in the most proficient way possible. And if they need help, I'm there to help them.
Don't forget, we also have your assistant, the adjunct officer that we built in specifically to assist the president.
Who is Doug Edwards. Great guy. He helps me when I need to get somebody some help. Maybe the commissioner with some rulings, if getting statements from players or teams or referees to the administrator on any website help or making announcements and stuff like that, or even the brand manager.
You know, helping right now, for instance, he's working with the brand manager to try to secure our championship location.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really good that we have that adjunct officer that can fill in anytime someone goes down, outside of, obviously, the president and commissioner. The vice president would step in at that point.
Right. And, you know, also, you know, one of my biggest jobs here as the president is going to be being in charge of the schedule. Once the registration opens June 1st and we start getting teams in, I'm going to start devising what our schedules are going to start to look like, mm-hmm. whether we're going to go with a 2-conference system or a 12-man system.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the two that we're sure that we're going to go with. We just don't know which one because we don't have the teams.
Yeah. We're just not entirely sure exactly what teams are going to show up and whatnot. So we want to make sure we leave that open-ended.
Right.
Because if we don't have a localization of teams, it doesn't make sense to have conferences. This way, if you have it as a single conference, you can ensure that teams aren't traveling too terribly far. So the goal, like you said, 2 conferences, but we've got an open mind about that. So this way we can cut down on expenses when it comes to traveling to games.
Right. Like when we were in the ADPFL.
APDFL.
APDFL. So many acronyms and so many leagues. It was a great league. The only problem for us as a War Eagle at the time was we were in Florida and our closest opponent was 6.5 hours away.
Well, they had one other team in Florida. It was the First Coast Fire that we ended up playing twice.
Out of Jacksonville, which was, 3.5 hours away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the closest opponent, though.
That was our closest opponent, and most of our away games were 8+ hours.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to try to minimize that because we know what the cost is for traveling as a team.
Oh, yeah.
Our first year, we covered bus expenses and...
I'm still paying on my credit cards for that stuff.
Right. So we want to minimize all the expenses we can for team owners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way, the least expenses team owners have, the more they can give back to their players. And that's how I see it.
Okay. Now, another part of your job on the executive board here as the president is to be the master at arms at all league meetings. Now, that's something that we're doing that's a little bit unique compared to the other leagues. Did you want to touch on that a little bit and how much that's going to help us organize our meetings?
So, in the past, being part of other leagues and being at these league meetings, you know, they can get unruly and loud. And
quick.
And people start talking over. It's a passionate thing between owners.
Yeah.
So, as the master of arms, I'll control the meetings. When I call to order, it's time for everyone to settle down. It's time to let whoever has the floor at that time have their time to talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, at the meetings, there wasn't somebody to do that. We just talked over each other and
wasted
30, 40 minutes.
On tangents, unnecessarily. It just didn't make any sense. There was no rhyme or reason to any of the meeting procedures that we've had in any league. And that's something that was really important to us to make sure we put in our handbook, we put in that we actually have meeting procedures. It's done the right way. In order to say something, you have to carry a motion. A motion must be seconded, and then you take a vote on it, taking alternative facts between those who are for it and against it. That's the rules of debate. That's how it works. You know what I mean? And for these guys, they just got in front of each other. They grandstanded and yelled, and then it got personal, and then they said, you know, you let this happen, so not let this happen, and started talking about tacit approval of things that had nothing to do with it. It's just, I think that's going to be something that's going to make our meetings a lot faster,
right,
a lot more organized.
Right, there's not going to be any 90-minute conversations about socks.
Oh, God, don't get me into that. I almost brought that up today in one of the uncut groups. I didn't want to get into it too terribly much, though, but that was ridiculous. Another thing, too, that's going to make it easier for you when it comes to the meetings is the fact that we're doing all of our meetings on Zoom. So there's not going to be any more filibustering with a piano playing in the background for a half an hour. And we're all yelling, put your phones on mute, put your phones on mute, you know? We actually could control that. We could see who's talking. We can manually mute you. So we could do screen sharing. So if we ever need to reference the rules or something on the website, it's going to be much more interactive.
Right. I mean, Zoom is a free application to all our owners, and it's a great, great app.
Oh, yeah.
For us to run these meetings.
Yeah, that's how we've been doing all of our board meetings in the off season, and they've proved to be extremely beneficial to us.
Correct. I mean, when someone's talking, if you're on the right screen, as soon as someone talks, their face pops up. You can physically see them, talk to them.
Not only that, but everybody has titles too. So there's a lot of times in league meetings, someone will be talking for 15 minutes and you're sitting there like, who the flip is this? Like, I've never even heard this person talk. I'm trying to figure out what they're saying. I'm trying to figure out who they are. So it's going to make it much more organized. You don't have to use the video feature if you don't want us to see your face. That's not the end of the world, but it'll at least pop up and tell us who's talking and when they're talking. And we record all of them as well, so this way we can reference them back later.
Right, which is a great feature with the Zoom app. We record and we'll archive them, and we'll have them for the entire season. Mm-hmm. So if in week 10, someone says, hey, you said 5 weeks ago that this is happening, we can go back.
Yeah, and you know what? If we said it, then we said it. Absolutely. It's there for us to verify against people lying. But it's also there to protect the teams.
Right.
If we said something, we're going
to
do it.
Right. It's there to make sure the league is held accountable for anything we say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to make sure we stick to that core value of integrity, 110%. Now, as the president, do you have any plans for the future? I know you were talking about, you were really passionate about making sure we get that pro-developmental part of the executive board. We're still looking for someone for that, but do you want to touch on it a little bit?
Of course. For the past 3 years, I've been big in charity work, into helping guys move on in careers more than just football. It's something I've been passionate about ever since I lost the chance to play.
That would make sense too, because when you got back, you said yourself, you kind of felt directionless. You didn't really quite know what to do or where to go.
Right. And guys that feel that way find amateur football and think this is going to solve their problem.
Yeah. They don't realize it's only part of the problem.
Right.
Know?
I mean, to better yourself, you need to work on yourself. And it's just not on the field. You need to do it off the field.
Mm-hmm.
When you have problems off the field, teams see that, especially next-level teams. And they take that into effect. You know, and it affects your game on the field, whether you want to admit it or not.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everybody does.
So we want to set up a professional development area where guys can come and we can help them with resumes, job placement,
interview skills,
things that may help them move forward in their life outside of football.
Yeah. I mean, with the football too, we also are looking to try to find someone that can get with local schools that can help set these guys up to retake ACT scores and stuff like that and study up a little bit. We want to make sure that, you know, every single team is required to submit film. But you know what that means? That means every player has access to film. That means we have an opportunity to really push these guys to go to arena, really push these guys to get their Euro players accounts and go get paid to play the game they love. Sometimes, you know, it's not enough to pay your bills. You're not going to become a millionaire playing in Europe, but you know what? You're getting paid money to play the game you love for a living. And like, to me, you might as well just call me retired at that point.
Right. I mean, for some guys, that is the goal. Just to play professionally, not in the NFL. You know, you don't have to be a superstar, but some guys just want to feel that accomplishment of just making it to where they're getting paid to play.
They want to feel validated, too, for all the hard work and effort and time that they've put into the sport.
Right, and that's a big thing for guys. And we want to help them move on to that level. We want to help guys that are younger, that maybe still have their college
eligibility.
Mm-hmm. You know, get into a community college, get their grades up, be a walk-on. When you have film to show a coach, is a big step to help you get to those areas.
Absolutely. You miss 100% of the chances you don't take, that's for sure. thank you very much for coming on and talking to us a little bit about your history and the future goals and plans that you have being the president of the AAAFL.
Thank you, man.
We hope you enjoyed the interview with the president of the AAAFL, John Dunderdale. Next segment we'll get into is his opportunity to say goodbye to the War Eagles once and for all. Now, this part here, I feel pretty bad about. John has been with us since the very, very beginning. Unfortunately, the schedules and timing didn't work out right to where he could be part of the Farewell to the War Eagles podcast that we put on last episode. So I do want to take a minute here for John to allow him to kind of get it all out of his system and thank the people he wants to, and for him to talk about what the War Eagles meant to him.
So when I started here with the War Eagles, you know, I came on, you know, to help Jason out and help him get a team off the ground. And it just grew from there. It grew into a great family. Me and Jason hadn't talked in years before that. We had separate lives and were in separate directions. And the team, you know, made us grow closer, made me make a friend in Z and in Scott and in Ronnie Sr.
Oh, yeah.
These things made a big impact on my life. And I enjoyed the 3 years that we had. And it is sad that it's coming to an end. I've made a lot of great friends and coached a lot of great players. These guys going forward in their careers are going to do big things. If they keep their nose to the grindstone, it's going to happen. There was a lot of times, you know, year one, specifically traveling with these guys, I got to know them all on a very personal level. So they all became really close.
Not only that, but like they know your kids, you know, they come out all the time. You know, their kids, we've got the chance to see some of them grow up a little bit too.
It's right. We held these barbecues yearly, even twice a year. We weren't just, hey, just show up to practice and then leave. We made our program to be a family. We invited families to be a part of the program. Mm-hmm. My kids are friends with other kids that they're not going to see very often anymore because we don't have this.
One thing I was really happy about, though, with the way it's ending is we're doing it, in my eyes, the right way. I hate to beat a dead horse by continuing to say that, but we didn't fold midseason. We didn't fall apart. Guys weren't boycotting the team and taking off on us. We made the conscious decision to end it on our terms, and for a good reason. I don't think anyone's going to look back at the War Eagles and say it was a failed thing, especially after this league takes off. They're going to see that that was the launch point. That was the jump start that really launched us into this next journey that we're going on.
Right. I mean, the War Eagle players are a big part of why we're starting this league. I mean, we sat down at an owner's meeting trying to decide where the War Eagles were going to go
from
here. That
was a very confrontational meeting.
And it was long. Yeah. I didn't notice
we were 6 hours meeting. Yeah.
Sitting in Wing House for 6 hours and not ordering anything. And that poor waitress.
She had to leave. Her shift was over. She's like, y'all ordering anything? Or we gave her a good tip, though.
We did. I mean, I didn't realize we were there for that long. And it just came down to, you know, doing the best thing for these players. We couldn't put them through another league that just didn't fulfill what they promised to our players.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things too. Like, we went three leagues in 3 years. Is there another league we believe in? Do you believe that the FCFL is going to do what they say they're going to do at this point after what happened?
I mean, I don't want to talk bad about it.
Well, I mean, we don't have to talk bad, but I mean, we can still talk about expectations.
With the things that happened this season, mm-hmm. that they can recover from it. It was a lot of bad mistakes. A lot of bad planning on their part.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't so much the planning. I think the planning was there. It was reacting to adversity. So they have plans in place, and I will speak up for John Wisniewski. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, but he was a good commissioner. He had his head on straight. He was trying to do the right thing. But where I think the league failed was reacting when things came up. When shit happens, when it hit the fan, which it's inevitable, it happens in every league, it's going to happen for us. You can't do anything about that, but you can react. And the way you react says a lot, and I don't feel the due diligence was there to get the appropriate facts. I don't think that the proper amount of research was done into not necessarily the situation, but how it's going to be reacted upon based on their ruling. So they'll make a ruling, but then they don't say anything. So now the person getting punished is the one who's controlling the narrative and making a big deal about it when the league hasn't said anything about it. That's something that we are going to do differently as far as the transparency is concerned. So this way, the league has an official statement. It's right. Not just the person being punished who's controlling the narrative completely.
And you're going to see that on the website.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be there for everyone to see, not only owners, but players. We're not here to hide anything.
There's nothing to hide. Now, is there anything that stuck out from you from our first year that you wanted to expand upon a little bit? Any funny stories? I know you listened back to that last podcast and you had a couple times we stopped and talked about a couple things.
You know, there was a lot of great times, and the biggest one that I think everyone remembers was our trip to Alabama.
God, we talked about that last episode. Opelika Chiefs.
They were a powerhouse.
They kicked our ass.
They beat the shit out of us. All right. It didn't help that we only traveled with 19 guys because we refused to forfeit and lose our playoff spot.
Yeah.
Out of those 19 guys, there was only two starters. Everyone else was.
No, I think there was three or four. There was. It certainly wasn't a lot. That's for damn sure.
Nico just stepped up and had the best game I've ever seen somebody play. And
he was getting the crap kicked out of him, but he got up every single time. It took three or four guys to take him down each time. He was actually completing balls. He actually had a pretty good completion percentage and yardage total, considering he had, like, you know, backup, like, third or fourth string defensive backs and third and fourth string linebackers playing guard. It was just, it wasn't the ideal situation. That's to say the least.
No, and, you know, we had a lot of fun at all these games. You know, Alabama, we all went out after the game. We had fun in the city. We did it when we played in St. Pete. We would go out, have drinks, and eat.
I think that was my favorite time, when we used to go out after the games and just sitting back and listening to Kevin and Will go back and forth. That was my favorite.
Kevin and Will going back and forth our first year was just hilarious. I mean,
could have been a comedy show in and of itself.
There was a lot of great players, not just Kevin and Will, but you had Perez and, you know, Searcy, who was always my favorite player on the team. He was always QB number one, even though no one else saw it. Like, Searcy never saw that he was QB number one either. Whatever anyone says, he was the best player on the team.
I like Searcy as a man. I like him as a football player. I just wish that we had more time. The biggest reason that he didn't really get the opportunity was we felt like we were in a position to strike for a championship, and he never really played the position before. So, I mean, if we had a couple more years, if we were more in a developmental stage as opposed to vying for a championship, in our eyes anyway, I think he would have probably got more run. That's probably one of my biggest regrets, is the fact that he didn't get too much of a run.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can regret it. I said it for 3 years that Searcy should be playing.
You also wanted to call the plays when you didn't know the offense.
Right. I can do that. I do it off Madden all the time.
Oh, I'm deleting that. No Madden talk on here, that's for sure.
Anybody that played for the War Eagles knows that we're a family. Whether the team's here or it's not, they are always welcome to hit me up. I will always help these guys to the best of my ability. I hope the best for all of them moving forward to whatever team they decide to go to, or if they decide War Eagle, being a War Eagle was enough and retire.
I don't know if we garnered that kind of respect, but
I mean, at least by a couple of them. There was a couple old guys that should, you know.
Yeah.
And Sean Ford, you know, he should probably just hang out.
Well, it's because he's pregnant. You know, right. It's not very fair to his baby. You know, he got to take at least 9 months off at this point.
You know, so if anybody needs something, I'm always there. I can't wait for this barbecue that's going to be in the past probably by the time this airs.
Yeah, I'm not airing this till afterwards, so a little Back to the Future reference there.
I can't wait, you know, and just let all these guys know, you know, it's been great. They've had an effect on me, and I hope I had an effect on them. And that's all we can ask for.
Okay, that'll wrap up our third episode of the Amateur Adult American Football League official podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening and do all the things that make all content providers happy by liking, sharing, giving us that coveted 5-star review, And go ahead and send us an email if there's anything that you would like for us to touch on for the next episode at secretary@theaaafl.com. We hope to hear from you soon.